When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Nuance Needed podcast. I'm Amanda White.
And this is Sam Dalton.
Happy 1 year to us doing the podcast.
Happy 1 year anniversary, babe. I love you so much.
I love you. We should probably be better at celebrating things, but...
You guys, you don't even want to know how hard we are on ourselves. It would probably shock you.
We just got ads. Yay. Hooray yes. for us. Yay. Thank you all for supporting us. And when you go through the process of switching over to a different platform, I guess sometimes it can re-index some of your episodes. So last week, Sam and I were on top of the world thinking that we had the most incredible – we were like going to go on tour. We were like, this is incredible.
We were in disbelief at the numbers that we're posting when we initially switched platforms. And so when we moved over, we were both like, this is like, we had no idea. Oh my God, this is so exciting.
We're so popular.
We're so, like, we need to get management. What? Oh my God, it all makes sense. And then 3 days later,
yeah,
leveled right out. So
that was fun.
That was a fun journey.
I know, we kept being like, we don't want to believe it. We don't want to believe it. And then right as we started believing it,
boom.
Down we go. We're working on it. Slowly, we're climbing the mountain.
We also want to say, though, and I think I can speak for you too, Amanda, which is every single one of you who listen, we see that as like a victory.
Yes.
Anybody who wants to be here listening, anybody who is interested in what we have to say and the concerns that we have for things going on in the world and the solutions that we're trying to offer and viewpoints, we are truly humbled in that regard that you guys are here. To be here a year is a really big deal.
Yeah.
And to still be around and to be planning to still be around is an equally big deal, because most podcasts just stop. Like, most people just stop.
Yeah. Doing that. I stopped 2 podcasts. So this is my longest streak.
Third time's the charm.
Yes. And we keep doing it because it's super aligned. We feel like it's really important right now.
Yeah.
It's very in alignment with our values where, you know, we've talked about, oh, if we did this or did that, you know, we would be more popular, but we wouldn't be able to sleep at night. And you and I are like actually really good friends. So it's really fun because we would text each other all of these insane things.
Which we do.
Yeah, which we do. So we may as well, you know, bring you all into the convo. If you want to hear some of the more unhinged things we talk about, you should join us over on Substack, where we let it all go. We just did a Taylor Swift episode. We just did an episode about Liz Gilbert's new book. We have one on cringe culture. We have one on critique culture coming. Lots of great stuff. Join us. And we're also running a special still until the end of October, if it's still October, where you can get 40% off your year subscription. So use the link in the show notes. So as we look back and reflect on the past year, we thought we would talk about coping skills. What coping skills have you been using?
That's a very good question. I can be a bad patient as a therapist.
I relate to that a lot.
Right? Like, sometimes I think we can kind of be like, oh no, like I know what I need to do and I'll do it when I need it. And a big, big thing for me I would say, over the last year in general, but I think in the last like two-ish months since the move has been final, is journaling.
Oh, you're a journaler. I am not.
I am a journaler. I got much better at journaling when I realized it didn't have to be a minute-by-minute accounting of my day. This is also something that I tell my clients to do a lot. Mm-hmm. And so I've really taken it on. And that is just allowing a free write of what you're feeling. And I think sometimes that trips people up because they think they have to be narrative. I'll have days where, let's say, like, I'm noticing that I'm starting to feel stressed. I'll kind of start with that, like, initial thought of, like, I'm feeling stressed today. This feels like a lot, but it shouldn't be a lot because I'm happy about it. But it is a lot because it's a change. It's an adjustment. And I'll kind of let that natural conversation within myself like flow onto the paper, and I won't challenge it and I won't edit it. I'll just kind of like write what comes up. And I usually find for me, the reason that's so helpful is because my brain can really be like a ping pong ball or a pinball machine, I think more accurately, is it'll just be like bouncing all between things, and I'll try to keep all the thoughts contained. And then you start getting too many balls, if you will, bouncing around. And when I get them out on paper, there's peer-reviewed evidence that says to write things down helps your brain make better sense of it, even than talking sometimes. Because talking, and this is from a yapper, you can sometimes get yourself in circles. And there's a permanence to writing something down that feels like you're actually taking an action to it. And I suggest journaling even more so if people struggle to be more verbal with their feelings and struggle to find the right words or feel intimidated by sharing with someone. And so for me, just having a place where I can kind of dump mm-hmm. everything and know people aren't going to read it, people aren't going to see it. This is just for me. There's not even really like a purpose or meaning to it. It's just for me to have a space to process.
Yeah, I think a lot of people get tripped up on journaling because they feel like it needs to make sense. They feel like it needs to be a narrative of their day. And yeah, there's too many like rules to it and stuff like that. Or at least I think that's one of the things for me. I also just feel like I write and talk so much at the end of the day. I'm just like, I don't want to write anything down. I don't want to see anything. So I tend to go into more like, I don't want any words, whether they're in my head out loud or on paper. And that's why for me, I think movement is so, so crucial, because I can just sort of like watch all my thoughts ping pong around and like be removed from them. Because I can get very – sometimes I feel like when I journal, I get more sucked into them. Like I like debate them rather than it being more separate from it, which is why for me – stretching is probably – I talk about this all the time and people never relate to it because they're just like, why would you stretch? But like stretching for me is one of like the best coping skills. Like it just really grounds me in my body. It like feels good in a lot of ways. It feels like I'm doing something. It's not hard. I find when you anchor yourself in the present moment with a physical sensation, like a stretch, it is sort of like a meditation where you – have to be connected to the present moment, so I get less lost in my thoughts. And that especially was super important when I could barely do anything the past year and a half, or like going for walks, changing my environment, things like that. But I love stretching because it's like easy, quick. You can do it even if you're holding a baby. Like you can – it's easier right. than going for a walk. That and movement, I would say – are my most important and biggest coping skills.
Was stretching something that you developed during like your sobriety?
No, it was from, I don't know if people know this, I've probably loosely shared about this at some point, but I was a competitive figure skater growing up. So I had to, like stretching was a big component of skating, and you would take dance classes with skating and stuff like that. And you take stretch classes, and you know, we were always being pushed to become more flexible. So I really developed like a stretching routine when I was young, and it just sort of stayed with me for forever. yeah, I think it's much easier for me to do it because I just am in the habit of it. And I think a lot of people, when I tell them that I do it or I suggest it to clients, they're like, absolutely not. That sounds horrible. Like, a lot of people really hate stretching. And I get that it's like annoying, but I mean, it's really funny because I just have this insane need. When I'm overwhelmed, I just need to lay on the floor. To the point where when I worked in rehab, one of the clinical director or the – she was the operations director of the long-term program I worked at. Like, she would just – when things would get super overwhelming, I would just like lay on the floor in her office. And she would just be like, this is the most ridiculous thing. But it became such a like funny joke. And when I'm overwhelmed, I just feel pulled to the floor. And I lay on the floor and I stretch on the floor and I just feel very grounded on the floor and –
I think you've laid on the floor almost every time you've come to my house.
That like is
the
true.
Second you come in the door, you're like, I just need to lay down. I'm like, okay. She lays down in my living room.
So I don't drive a lot. When I drive to your house, I'm like, oh, what a.
Oh, no. My house is far. I know.
So I don't really feel like that's a tip, though, because I don't know. I just think it feels great to lay on the floor and – it's just so grounding.
It's helpful. I'll do it sometimes in between my sessions. If I've had like a particularly heavy or, I mean, this is going to sound bad. I'm focused in all of my sessions. But as a therapist, you know, there are some that based on the conversation, what you're talking about, like the level of focus shifts a bit. And sometimes for those, I do kind of have to like completely remove myself like from my chair, even though it's comfortable, and like just lay down and like feel that I can disconnect for a moment. So yeah, I used to not like stretching at all, but then I turned 30 and I started noticing that like my muscles were just like more tight. And also my dad has like a really screwed up back. And I can tell that in my lower back, I think I'm a little genetically prone to like what his muscles do. It has been helpful. And guys, like, I know it hurts.
But doesn't it hurt so good? I think it hurts so good. I'm just like, oof.
I very recently made the connection, actually, because I can have tight hips, that I think the tightness that I have in my hips is actually related to some trauma. I think that's where I've stored some traumatic experiences, especially because I've noticed sometimes when I go home, I immediately have like hip pain and discomfort, like muscular. The second I leave, it goes away. So just an interesting tidbit. But I've found that stretching while I'm home is very helpful, and that there is discomfort, but there is something very powerful about being able to practice sitting in that and allowing yourself to like feel the release when it is done. And kind of like that more loose sensation. So if you are listening to this and you're like, that sounds like the worst thing ever, I would maybe push yourself a bit.
Yeah, I mean, so much of my recovery also was like learning how to sit, learning how to tolerate. And to me, that was what I was saying about when you have that physical anchoring, when you have a sensation in your body, it helps you stay more present.
Another thing that has been helpful to me is shutting off my phone. And maybe this could be something interesting for us to like process as content creators. It's rough in these streets, guys. I think if you've seen it as a consumer, imagine what it's like creating. Nobody's happy ever. Nothing's ever good. Someone has a problem with everything. And I think I've found, especially in the last little bit with like the overwhelm that I have going on in my personal life, I have to stop hurting my own feelings by over consuming. I've noticed lately I've found myself kind of like zoning out and over consuming. I wouldn't say it's a doom scroll. I've been pretty good with keeping my feed, I think, like a pretty healthy mix. I'm informed, but I don't allow myself to get overly informed. So that's been helpful, but it's also like, it's just such a slippery slope. Like, you just feel like you open up your phone and then all of a sudden 40 minutes have gone by. It doesn't feel good. When I'm done, quote unquote, or I'm trying to move on to something else, I don't feel rested. I don't feel relaxed. I feel even a little bit agitated and stressed. And there's like some guilt and shame in there of like, I shouldn't have done that. And rah, rah, rah. And so for me, I found throughout the day, completely locking my apps has been so helpful for me. And practicing a, like, if I've been scrolling for like 10, 15 minutes, I'll kind of have like an adult child moment with myself where I'm like, nope, like, you need to be cut off now. You've consumed enough. You posted. You did what you need to do. Now you need to have like some separation. Yeah.
I think it's almost interesting too, because I think things are so insane. It's also made me just be like, what is the point in some ways? Like, I used to feel very purposeful and like it was important that I kept up with things. I'm not talking about politically. I mean, like, what's happening with the Instagram therapists, like on the internet, you know, like those types of things. And I think a lot of it was hypervigilance and fear of saying the wrong thing, of someone misconstruing something. But yeah, I agree. Getting a brick has completely changed my life in the best way. I allow myself to have my phone unbricked from social media for like about an hour in the morning, and then I brick it the whole day, and then I let myself have it for 30 minutes or whatever at night, and then I brick it again before I go to sleep. And then sometimes I brick it the whole weekend, and then I plan out my content, and that goes. I'll check in on the content at the end of the day to see if I need to like respond to things and stuff like that. But you know, I'm sure my social media is not doing as well as it could, but it just has completely positively impacted my mental health so much. And I cannot recommend it enough, really.
I think something that's not spoken about enough in the creator community is the burnout of feeling like you go through all of this work to create things and it goes nowhere. And that's hard. Like that is a hard mental marathon to stay in. And as content creators, we all know the game that we could each play for the engagement Olympics. We know the things we could say. We know the controversial things we could say. And it's really hard when you've made an agreement with yourself that you don't want your content to elicit that in people, that you want your content to be a place where people feel regulated, where people feel calm, where people feel maybe even empowered, people feel educated. And it's a really fine balance, because you know the game, and you know, and you see other people playing that game and being insanely successful, and it is tempting. And stepping away from that pressure has been something that I've been actively doing the last little bit, and kind of being like, why am I wanting to grow? Kind of really checking in with myself of like, what are the motivations here? I feel like one of my coping skills right now, and this is kind of a little more vague and I don't think I've totally fleshed it out yet, so I'll keep you guys posted, but it is kind of like reassessing my relationship with social media as a content creator and deciding how I want that to be. And am I okay with the investment of time not getting as much of an ROI as I used to? I will also say, with coping skills, I think people forget like how creative you can be. What you can define as a coping skill is actually like very broad and dependent on mood, need, day, time. And I think people lose sight of that, and they get kind of in this mindset of like, well, it has to be journaling, or it has to be drinking water, or it has to be exercise, or it has to be like kind of these very typical baseline quote unquote skills, which are important. Yet I think a coping skill could also be like, you know, for me, cleaning. That is something that matters to me. That is something that is important to me. I notice that I feel more overwhelmed when my space feels not clean. Another one could be, I have a friend who keeps her fridge stocked with her favorite drink. And every day she has that drink. And that is like a moment for her that very matters. And it's, she like tunes out of work. She tunes out of everything. And that is like a coping skill for her that she knows she can have. Non-alcoholic, by the way. But allow yourself the space to be really creative of thinking of what actually feels good to me. Like what actually feels relaxing, what actually feels like I'm able to disconnect and engage with the world differently. Like, is it literally just like sitting outside and staring into space?
Well, I do think that's one of mine. Like, I sit on my patio outside, and I've been doing this since I lived in like Philly, and I would like sit in this like rickety little area I just like when I wake up, I like need to go outside for like 10 minutes and drink my coffee outside. And at the end of the day, I have to do that too. A lot of the best coping skills are like just meeting your basic needs. And I think we can get so complicated with coping skills. And a lot of it to me is it's just like we forget how tied our mental health is to our physical health, and how if you're hungry, if you're thirsty, if you're tired, if you haven't moved, if you haven't been outside, if you haven't talked to anyone today, those are things we all need. Because online, people are like, spa day, look at my, you know, look at my self-care routine, look at how I'm using this coping skill or whatever. And a lot of times it's just like really simple and basic. And I love the example you gave of just like having a drink outside or just doing something simple, making your bed, whatever it is. Like I don't, it doesn't need to be Instagrammable or something you buy. Like you don't need a red light mask or a zip face mask or whatever, even though every day I contemplate getting them because I am sold them all day, every day, even by people who I trust.
Same. It's hard.
I really don't think that I need that. And I think what people actually mean when they're like, I felt accomplished that I did something that feels like it's taking care of myself. And a lot of times you just need basic things. And we then don't do the basic things. We don't eat enough, drink enough water, go outside, move our body in some way, talk to people. And then we're like planning an elaborate hobby and we're going to, you know, buy a paint by numbers kit or whatever, even though I know you love those. But our basic needs aren't met, or right, like we're going to start cooking and learn all of these really complicated recipes. And it's just like, no, babe, you maybe just like need to use your crock pot twice a week and make a meal before you try to do a complicated thing.
Yeah, start there. Because I think overcomplicating is also a very passive form of self-sabotage. Because if we make it really complicated, it's very easy to then have to back down from it and be like, oh, look, didn't work. Guess I can just keep on keeping on. And I think we have to hold ourselves accountable to that. At least I have had to do that in the past. And in fact, speaking of red light masks, I bought one. No, I'm just kidding. I did not.
I mean, you could. It's not a crime.
No, you get to do whatever you want to do.
It's been in my cart like 15 times before. And every time I'm just like, no, not today. Because all the good ones are like $400. And I'm just like, I'm not spending $400. I'm not.
No.
Although I do have to say, this is random. I did spend a few hundred dollars on a laser machine, a hair laser machine. And it is great.
Really?
Yes, because I'm like, I don't want to go to the salon and like get this done. But, you know, you got to be okay hurting yourself, which I am.
I might be following up with that.
Okay, so if you're listening to this episode and feeling like, oh my gosh, I could actually really use a therapist, we've got you. My practice, Therapy for Women Center, has therapists licensed in 43 states across the country. All the therapists are hired by me, trained by me, handpicked by me, and we really back and support our therapists. We vouch for them, unlike some of these big online therapy platforms. Also, if you're local to the Philadelphia area, we have 3 office locations there. So I would love for you to go to our website, therapyforwomencenter.com, and check it out.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Something that I have actually done is I have very much simplified both my skincare routine and my makeup routine. And this is something I never thought I would do. And I take a lot of pride in my makeup. I like doing it. It's fun for me. My skincare as well. However, I started to notice I was getting really overwhelmed with skincare. And not in like a, I didn't want to do it, but I was really overcomplicating what I needed as a 35-year-old. Well, I'm still 34. As a 34-year-old, almost
ride it out, ride it out until the last day, Sam.
And I was like, oh, well, I need this and I need this and I need that and I need that and I need to go to Sephora and I need this. And it was just, it felt like too much to be like keeping up with. And I like really challenged myself and I was like, well, babe, like, what do you need? That has been kind of like a form of self-care to me, that I know my routine in the morning at night is not as long. It doesn't feel as laborious. It doesn't feel as overwhelming to start. I actually want to do it because I know it's kind of like, oh, it's a quick little thing before I go to bed. Or, you know, it's just a part of what I do in the morning. And also, like with my makeup, I've found that because I've kind of been easing back on my skin and I've noticed the quality of my skin is better, I really don't like foundation. Like, I'm wearing a little bit of concealer right now and that's it. But yeah, so I think it, even if you are someone that like really loves those things, really likes those things, as I am, and I still sometimes do a little bit more, maybe sometimes I'll do a little less, it depends. But I've allowed myself the two things of having a simple routine to rely on and letting myself be like variable in what I do or I don't do.
I think that's great. I have never been someone who has like a 10-step skincare routine because it overwhelms me so much. And I get like very fixated on things. But I'm always like duped by being like, this is the product that you will never have to switch. Like, I'm so bought into the marketing of never having to switch products in the future that this will be the thing that will last me forever and I'll never have to worry about it. And that's unfortunately like not true, because life changes, everything changes, and it's hard. So I've had to give that up, that I will probably change things. Like, I've been obsessed with this since I was like 12. I was like, I'm going to find the one, I don't know, makeup brand that I will be loyal to forever. I don't know why I thought that as a 12-year-old. And then I like will buy everything in that thing because I'll be like, I'm committed to this specific thing. And then it's like, you don't like it anymore. So I'm trying to realize if I like a shirt, I don't have to buy it in like four colors in case it like goes out. You know, it's just like, it's okay. There will be other shirts. There's so many direct-to-consumer brands, Samantha. You'll survive.
Yeah, there is. You're going to be okay. You'll find one that you like somehow, somewhere. Capitalism will deliver one way or another.
What are the bad things that you do that hurt yourself over time? What are your anti-coping skills? What are your self-sabotage behaviors, Sam?
Oh, my self-sabotage behaviors.
Do you want me to go? Because I have like 45 I could list off the top of my head.
You go. Because you go first.
I still pick my skin sometimes, which is not good. And I go through phases of it.
Are you like nails certain? Like,
no,
certain
it's my
places?
Face. Just best.
Nice.
Just so I go through this routine of like throwing away stuff and then like finding, like I hide it from myself in my house.
Like what?
Like that dumb little blackhead loop that exists. You know what I mean?
Oh, you'll use that guy.
It's not good. I like hide it from myself and then I find it and then I hide it from myself and I throw it away and then I find one somewhere else.
I cry when they do that to me in a facial.
I like a little pain, probably too much. Okay, I do that. I overwork myself for sure. I just get like super obsessed with work. I used to not sleep a lot, but sleep meds have changed my life. 10 out of 10. Highly recommend. Cannot believe that I spent the last 10 years not sleeping one day a week.
Shout out to Big Pharma. Thanks, guys.
What else? Sometimes I work so much I like don't leave my house. And I'll be like, oh, I didn't leave my house today. I should like probably, you know, look at the sun.
Work from home. That's hard.
I imagine that happens to you sometimes too. Those are my big ones, I feel like, because I don't drink anymore. I think it's shopping sometimes too, of not that I'm spending tons of money on like elaborate clothes, but I get fixated on that little pattern I was telling you about. If like I find a pair of jeans, I'm like, oh my God, this is the perfect pair of jeans and I'm going to wear this jeans forever. But what if they like wear out? So I need to get like five, and I have to be like, shh, It's fine. It's fine. I also get obsessed with like details in my house, which is why it's like not great for me to follow like tons and tons, you know, influencers online who just like will be like, this tiny little nook in my house was not perfect. So I had someone come in and we flattened out the wall. And yeah, I have to be like, no, okay, not everything needs to be perfect, especially when your house is like a mess, Amanda. Like, why are you fixing on like this corner not being the right way that it looks weird? It's like, okay, you're trying to control something.
Yeah, she's also insanely hard on herself.
Yeah, that's true.
A lot of pressure.
But it's just like who I am. No.
She is. I think I can be, and this, I think this one's going to surprise some people.
Again, I love how you are like surprise some people, because people you love actually listen to this podcast.
Well, maybe, I don't know, people who have followed me, and maybe I don't know. Well, okay, maybe this is like the umbrella problem, is I really like to be perceived as having it all together. And I feel like I work very, very hard to actually make that true in some ways. But then I am so hard on myself that can sometimes, like, if I'm trying to work on something, I have a really hard time getting started because I have this internal narrative of like, well, you're going to suck at it anyway, so like, why bother? And so I'll notice that when I have to like do something, I'll get up and be like, well, time to vacuum. Yeah. and I'll start doing stuff like that so I can be kind of avoidant of things. I have a really hard time being honest when I'm struggling. I will keep that pinball machine going in my head and be like, no, I'll just suffer quietly. It's fine. I don't need to burden anybody with that. So my hyper independence, I would say, is definitely, it is sometimes a strength and sometimes it's a pretty big burden. I will overbook myself.
Mm-hmm.
That's one that I'm bad at. I'll put too many in a row. And then I kind of feel like a sense of dread when the day is starting because I've said yes to too many times or changes or things like that because I want to be accommodating to my clients. And sometimes I'll like hurt my own feelings with that. So that's something that I'm trying to be a little better at. I'll go in like waves with it. Like I'll have times where I'm better and then I'll have other times where I'll be like, I have to accommodate everybody and everything's fine and I'll fit everybody in. So work is a big one for me. I have really bad comparisonitis on social media. What's funny is like, I don't even do this in the therapist world. I go to like other creators who like don't necessarily have a niche. And I like look at them and I'm like, what are they doing? Like, why are they being successful? Like, why are they like, why do their videos perform so well? Blah, blah, blah. Like I'll do that kind of convincing mm-hmm. myself that I'm getting ideas.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
But really, I'm just like snooping. But then it's not in our niche. That's what's funny. I don't like look at people in our niche. I look at anyone else.
Yeah. I like get really, you know this, I get really mad at myself if I have to like cancel or change something. I like sort of go insane. Because so much of my addiction, I was so flaky. So then I like really rebuilt my life to not be flaky. And then like having a child has unfortunately made it so I'm more flaky. And I like get really upset and struggle with worry about how people will perceive me and all of that. That's something I'm still working on and trying to be like realistic. I wish I was one of those moms who had tons of energy to do like 900 things a day, but I can handle like one social outing sort of a day. Like I cannot do multiple things and I wish I could.
I don't know if this is necessarily a coping skill. I think this is more like a thinking error that I have. I get really, really, I think just like really like leaning into that voice of like trusting how hard I am on myself.
Mm-hmm.
Being like, no, like that's the right way to think. Like I think I've recognized in the last couple days that I am feeling so stressed because I have noticed the past 2 weeks I've been really hard on myself, like with everything. And like when we realized like our numbers were like normal, I was like, well, this is my fault.
Sam?
Yeah. Literally, I was like, no, this is my fault. Amanda's probably so disappointed. She's going to want to back out of this. Like that,
you
like
are crazy.
I know. I'm insane. That's like where my, I mean, that's, you know what that trauma is tied to. And I have to like kind of pull myself out of that and be like, mm-hmm. no. But that mindset, that almost like self-harmy vibe, hurt your own feelings mindset is an indicator for me that I have not been engaging with good coping skills and like managing my stress and taking care of myself. So I think being like aware of that, the inner voices that you have in the different parts of yourself and kind of spending time thinking of like why they're talking to you at certain times, mm-hmm. that has been really helpful for me in like sussing out like what it means instead of just being like, oh, I'm such a piece of shit all the time. Like I'm just bad. Being like, oh, you're feeling triggered right now because this is disappointing. and your typical track when you do that is to blame yourself and take all the responsibility. You've had some really gnarly experiences in the past where mm-hmm. people have pulled fast ones on you. And so you're projecting that out and you need to rein that back in and do something that's like actually calming and compassionate.
I do think that is like one of the benefits of getting older / knowing yourself / being in therapy. I agree. I mean, whew, I would not want to go back to my 20s and have to relearn all of this because it is so helpful to know that this is just my pattern. This is what I do. Yeah. I know that if I'm spending too much time leaned over the sink, staring at my pores,
something's wrong.
Something's wrong. It is very helpful to know instead of getting like super, super lost in all of it.
So if you're like relating to any of this in either direction, I think really when we're talking about learning about coping skills, it's really like a gigantic exercise in self-awareness.
Yeah. And experimentation too. I think you really have to experiment with what works. And I think people really get tripped up because they're like, I have to do this perfectly. This coping skill should fix everything. And it's not. A coping skill is meant to help you tolerate something. It is not going to fix how you feel.
No.
A lot of times it's like giving you something to do while
literally
you feel, or it is like helping raise your baseline in terms of getting your basic needs met. But you don't know. Like the reason Sam and I like know our patterns, or if you know your patterns, you know, because you've tried different things. And I know at least right now in my life, journaling doesn't work for me. So I go do something else.
Yeah. And it does work for me. Yours doesn't have to look like somebody's, or it doesn't have to be different than somebody's. Like, I think this is such like an individualized journey.
Yeah.
And not feeling that you have to do things that certain people are doing, or you don't have to not do something because someone else is doing it. Like, this is about experimentation and awareness for you and taking care of you during stressful times and even when things are okay. Mm-hmm. Even if maybe right now like things feel stable for you and things feel okay, that is an even better time to practice some of this stuff because it doesn't feel as high stakes and overwhelming.
Yeah. Well, thanks for listening.
Yeah. If you liked this episode, please rate, review, share, subscribe, have somebody else listen to this. We're on a very exciting trajectory overall, and believe it or not, we're very happy with where we're at. We have insane standards for ourselves. So to my high achieving girlies, this is for you. But no, we're very excited. We're very happy. We appreciate a lot of the kind words that many of you have said about having the ads. We know that sometimes they can be a little bit annoying, but for smaller podcasts like us, it's really quite a monumental deal. Yeah. So yeah, anything you can do to rate, review, share, subscribe. If you want to join the Substack, we're over there. We're putting lots of content over there. And if you pay, you immediately get access to everything. Anything that we've ever posted, you get access to, which is a big deal. So yeah, we'd love to see you over there. And until next week.
Bye.
Bye.